to Psalm 119. I'm not going to preach through the whole chapter tonight because it's a little lengthy. But as we continue the thoughts on hope, I want to start at verse 41. As you know, Psalm 119 is divided up into sections of eight verses per section. And we're going to start at verse 41 and read down through verse 48 to begin. The psalmist says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewithal to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of thy mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together. Lord, I thank you for the psalmist that you inspired to pen these words. And it seems that all of Scripture, but especially in the Psalms, we just work for years to try to plumb the depths of the thoughts and the praise and the admiration that the psalmist has for you, and we always fall short. Lord, help us to, as we consider these things now, to honor you, help your word to work in our hearts, and you to be pleased with us now, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 43 there says, "Take not thy word, the word of truth, utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." There's three places in Psalm 119 that the psalmist says, "I have hoped." We know hope is a confident expectation in a definite outcome. That hope is not, "I hope this will happen, I hope that will happen." You know, some folks have flown in this last couple of weeks. We flew to Ontario and we went to the airport. We got there early. And I told my wife, I said, "Listen, I'm going to try to get us on an earlier flight. I hope that works." Now, that was not a confident expectation in a definite outcome. But just like Brother Rasky said about his Blue Jays tickets, we went and there was a nice lady there, and we asked, said, "What's the chance of, we're here early, of bumping up to an earlier flight?" And she started pecking away on her computer there, and I said, "Doesn't look too good." She said, "Oh no, it's fine." And she got us on the flight 2 hours earlier, but our seats were not together. And she said, "That won't be a problem when you get," you know, hoping in things in this life. Now coming back, I went on to check on our flight, and I hoped we had seats together. We didn't. She had an aisle seat in 27. I had an aisle seat in 48 or something like that. I don't know if they thought we were fighting or what. So we had to work on that. We got that straightened out. But, you know, hope in things in this life is not always realized. But hope in God is always realized. Here the psalmist says, "I have hoped in thy judgments." What are the judgments of God? We know that in each of the verses, except for two or three in Psalm 119, the Lord, it speaks of something about the word of God. Here the word is used as judgments. We think about that, we think about a courtroom. And we think about a judge handing down a decision in a courtroom. And a judge in a courtroom hears of the facts of the case. He takes the facts of the case, he compares that to the law, and then he renders a decision. It's much like that with the Lord when we talk about his judgments. It's God's decisions based on circumstances, your actions, and his wisdom. God's decisions based on the circumstances, your actions, and his wisdom. And the psalmist says, "I have hoped in thy judgment." I have a confident expectation and a definite outcome in the judgments of God. Because God sees all of the circumstances of our life. And God understands the circumstances of our life, not only what is happening today, but will happen tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. And He understands not only the circumstances, but our actions and attitude towards those circumstances. And then God renders a decision based on His wisdom in those circumstances. And the psalmist says, I don't need to be concerned of the circumstances of life, because I have hoped in thy judgment. Every circumstance that God brings to our life is right and for our good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God works all things together. That the circumstances that brought David to the throne of Israel, God was right in His judgment in those circumstances. But we look at those, and humanly speaking, and we consider what happened to David, we say it wasn't right. Because we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, that Samuel went to Jesse and said, one of your sons is going to be king. He brought the firstborn, good looking, strapping young man, looked like a king, walked like a king, talked like a king. And he ran through all the sons. Guess what happened? David, the youngest, was ignored. He was left. And they got through all the sons, and Samuel said, is this it? I know God sent me here to anoint a king, but none of these are going to be king. And then Jesse says, oh yeah, I forgot. I've got one more. He was forgotten. And then we see that David, when he came to come to the palace there, he was brought up, and his job was playing a harp. Not seemingly a big important job, not a big masculine job, playing the harp. But David said, this is what God has for me right now, and I'm going to do what God has. This is the circumstance. God's judgment is, I play the harp for the king in these circumstances. It wasn't long that there was a war with the Philistines, and there was Goliath. David went down to just to take some food to his brothers and see how things were going. And Goliath came up and opposed him. And everybody made fun of David when he said, I'm going to go take care of Goliath. His eldest brother, the one who looked like a king and walked like a king and talked like a king, ridiculed him. Saul saw no potential at all, but I think he thought, better I send this young guy out and Goliath kill him than I go and Goliath kill me. I think that was Saul's thought. He killed Goliath, brought a great victory over the Philistines. And then the people began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul said, you know what, I need to kill this guy. Threw a javelin at him, tried to kill him. Chased him from his court. And then we find that David was exiled and spent months and months and months being chased through the hills of Judea by Saul, as Saul attempted to kill him for no better reason than David was getting more praise from the people than Saul was. It's not fair. It's not fair. Saul dies. David becomes king of Judah and Benjamin, but not of the other 10 tribes. Mephibosheth, Saul's son, for 6 or 7 years is king over the northern kingdom. Wasn't fair. David was supposed to be king over the whole kingdom. We look at his life, and we could look even after. But you know what? God was using those circumstances to bring David to the place where he would be the kind of king that was a man after God's own heart. See, folks, the psalmist says, I have hoped in thy judgments. Think through this last week, or maybe the last month, of judgments that God has made in your life. God has looked at the circumstances of your life. God has looked at what you're doing and how you're responding to those circumstances. And God says, in light of this, this is what I'm going to allow to come into your life. God is doing that for your good. God has allowed those circumstances. God is bringing those things into your life that He might shape you and mold you and make you more like Jesus Christ. every trial and joy in your life. We like the trial, we like the joys, but we're not real happy about the trials. 1 Peter 1:7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith. Peter also says in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Trials. Trials are going to come. We live in a sinful world. We walk with sinful people. We deal with our own sinful heart. And out of those things come trials. But the scripture also says there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, trials will come. But he says, don't think it strange that they happen. And 1 Peter 1:7, when we respond right to those trials, look at the result, the end of 1 Peter 1:7, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not that we receive prayer, praise and honor and glory, but Jesus Christ receives the praise and honor and glory for in those circumstances meeting with us, challenging our hearts, directing our hearts, allowing our hearts to direct our actions, and helping our actions to see us through those trials. At the coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will get the praise and the honor and glory for seeing us through those trials. But besides trials, there is joy in life too. Psalm 16 and verse 11, the psalmist says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think this Psalm 16:11 tells us about two different things. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. This is what life is like. In thy presence is fullness of joy. As we walk in the presence of the Lord, as we walk with the Lord by our side, there is fullness of joy. We can have joy because we're walking with the Lord. We can have joy because He's leading us. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we know through the circumstance, He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, leadeth me beside the still waters, restoreth my soul. We know all the circumstances of the psalmist says there, are all circumstances to benefit the sheep, but also to bring glory to the shepherd. And at thy right hand, the psalmist says, are pleasures forevermore. In the future. You see, in this life, there's fullness of joy. At thy right hand, in heaven forever, there is pleasures forevermore. We just cannot begin to comprehend what heaven is like. People write books about it and things they say about it, but we can't be, you know, our mind cannot begin to comprehend everything's in heaven. But it says here, pleasures forevermore. That we will in heaven, and that doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, that all the things we think of now as pleasures. When we were up in Ontario, I took my grandchildren to the Mandarin Buffet up in Ontario. I took their parents too, but I focused on the grandchildren. Because I like to watch them eat. And I like to eat. It was a pleasure. Of course, till the bill came. But the things that we think of so much as pleasures now will not be the pleasures we think of in heaven. Okay? We have sanctified pleasures. And so, God's judgments bring trials, but they bring joy. And each thing He brings in His circumstance is for our good. Each thing He brings is, if we respond properly, draws us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So He says in Psalm 119, verse 43, I have hoped in thy judgment. Let me just look at 45. This is just kind of a sideline. I won't charge extra for this, okay? He says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Think about this. He says, I will walk at liberty. Most people, when they think of fundamental Christianity, they think that fundamental Christianity is bound by a strict set of rules and regulations. That I don't have the liberty, I don't have the opportunity to do the things that I want because I'm bound by all these rules and regulations. But notice he says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Think of this stage as the precepts of God. They start over here. They go clear across over to here. They come up here to the front. They come back here to the choir rail. The psalm says, I walk at liberty. You know what? I can walk any place on this platform. At liberty. I can swing my arms like this. As long as your nose is in the way. But I can swing my arms around. I can walk at liberty. I have the liberty to do these things and go these places and associate with these things. I can walk at liberty, but I get a little close to the edge, and you know what? It gets a little shaky. The trouble is, some of us try to say, instead of saying, I want to walk at liberty, say, I want to walk on the edge. And then they wonder why they stumble and fall. If I tried to walk back and forth across the edge of this platform over and over again, eventually, you know what? I'm going to fall down the steps. But if I come back 3 feet, I can walk back and forth. I'm not in danger at all. Why is it sometimes we think we have to get as close to sin and compromise as we can? Say, oh no, I did, but we're right there, right on the edge. That was free. The psalmist says, I have hoped in thy judgments. We see the second thing that, in the first thought, God always does what is right. The second thing we see here in Psalm, we go down to verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. God's word is always secure. God's word is always, God's judgments are always right. But God's word is always secure. Others that trust Christ can see our dependence on God's word. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. They'll be glad. You know, we were just down in Ontario. We met a lot of friends that we had made. I met a lady that Althea Lopez. You never met her, and probably never will. But Althea Lopez was there at church. I talked to her and her husband. Years ago they were in a church, and they left, and they moved away to a different part down in South America, I believe, and then came back to our church. And she said, you know, you led me to the Lord. And you know what? I had forgotten that. But you know what? She was there. She was being faithful. She was there. And you know what? It encouraged me that somebody I led to the Lord was still being faithful there in the church. We met a lot of people. I met a lady there that said, she says, I came to Newfoundland. She said, oh yeah. She says, I was there. I went to Memorial University, got my nursing, and then I went to St. Anthony. And I said, did you know Miss Dorothy Sutcliffe? Oh, yes, I know Dorothy well. I worked with her for I don't know how many years. But you know what? I forgot to get her name. I'm going to talk to Dorothy. She will remember her, I'm sure, because she remembers a lot of things that I don't. But, you know, it's great to see people serving the Lord. So others that trust Christ will be glad when they see me. Hoping in God's word is a confidence that everything will be accomplished exactly as he said it would. You know, the word of God lays out not only the events in the past, but also it lays out the events that will take place. And we know that the world, this is not the end of things. The world and the circumstances and conditions today, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. And we know that, there'll be a time, there'll be a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. We know. And then all of those events will unfold for 1,007 years, and then will be eternity. God will do exactly as he said. God's word is always secure. God's word is secure when things are falling apart. The psalmist says, 119, verse 45, I cried with my whole heart, oh, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried to thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, but I might that I might meditate in thy word. When things are all falling apart, in our eyes, okay? In God's eyes, they're not falling apart. When things are falling apart, God's word is secure. Look at Psalm 119, verse 149 and 150. We see that the psalmist prays when things are falling apart. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. What to pray? Hear me according to thy loving kindness. I like that phrase, loving kindness. You know, we can be kind to someone without loving them very much. We can be kind to somebody we don't even know. But God's kindness always comes out of his love. And by the way, everything that God does for us always proceeds from a heart of love. God does not proceed from a heart of anger, but always from a heart of love. In verse 151, 152, we see the conclusion where things are falling apart. The psalmist says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known it all of old that thou hast founded them forever. God's word is always secure. God's judgments are always right. Our third thought this morning is salvation is secure in Christ. Salvation is secure in Christ. Look at Psalm 161. Psalm 161, we see the psalmist lays out the circumstances in his salvation. He says, Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. He said, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And by the way, those in the Old Testament look forward to trusting Christ just as we look back to trusting Christ. He says, there are circumstances. Princes have persecuted me. Things have gone wrong. People have lied to me. All these things have gone wrong. But my salvation is secure. Look at his attitude because of his salvation. In verse 164 and 165, Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend me. We see two things. We see first, because of our salvation, our attitude towards heaven. Seven times a day, and that doesn't mean we count them and tick them off. Have a little calculator. One, two, three. I've got to seven. I don't have to praise the Lord anymore. But it talks about continue. Seven is a number of completion, fulfillment, like 7 days in a week. He says, my praise to God is a continual thing. Why? Because of his righteous judgments. And again, remember what judgments are. Also, hear my attitude towards others. I have great peace, which they have loved thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I was joking with Brother Anderson the other day. He did something. I forget what he did. And I said, Brother Anderson, great peace of they which love thy law, and you better not offend me. And that's our attitude sometimes. But great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing nothing shall offend me. My attitude because of my salvation. And in verse 166 and 167, we see my actions because of salvation. Lord, I have hoped in thy salvation and done thy commandments. I have hoped. I have a confident expectation, a definite outcome because of salvation. I have a confident expectation that should I die or should I be taken, should the rapture come, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, presence with the Lord. I have a confident expectation in my salvation. I have a confident expectation that my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. My sins are forgiven, nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. I have that expectation. Not only that, but I do your commandments. Now, we're not talking about the 613 commands of Moses in the Old Testament. But we're talking about the thing. If we go to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we see Christ laying out how we should live for Christ in this present world. He says in verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. He says, I have kept thy, verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. He said, Lord, you can see. You can see my... Why is it we always think of God seeing the bad things we do, but never think of God seeing the good things that we do? See, God looks down from heaven, and you know, sometimes you make God smile. Do you think about that? You look down, and you're at a place, and there's two choices here. You could choose to do something that's not pleasing to God, or you can choose to do something that's pleasing to God. And you pause, because this one, the one that's not pleasing, offers more immediate rewards. We take a breath and we choose the way that pleases God. And God looks down from heaven and God smiles. He won that one. Life is made up of choices. You're here today. It was a choice. I'm glad you made that choice. But choices, godly choices, are a result of salvation. And so the psalmist says, I have hoped. Now I want you to understand, the psalmist was not saying, I have hoped in the past, and that's, I'm going beyond that now. No, the thought is, I have hoped and I continue to hope. I did not just hope in one situation and that end. But the psalmist says, I can hope in God's judgments. He's always right. You know what? I'm not always right. I'm not. A few deacons' meetings ago, I told the deacons, listen, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I'm not always right. I don't claim to be. I'm not perfect. But God's judgments are right. He is always. You can hope in God's word. It's always secure. It will stand you in good in this stead in this life and in the life to come. God's word is always secure. You can hope in God's salvation. It is eternal. It is eternal. What do you put your hope in? We see circumstances in life, in our community, in our country, our province. And we know that in those circumstances, our hope often is let down. But the psalmist testifies, and I can agree with him today, that God has never let us down. God has never given us a hope and we have fallen short. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. I wonder about the circumstances of your life in this last week. Has your hope been in God's judgments that God would always do right? Or have you just kind of tried to make your own way? Has your hope been in God's word? Have you been in God's word daily? We can't really hope in God's word unless we know God's word. What about your salvation? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I look around here today and I recognize everyone, but maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's a concern to you. You say, Pastor Holm, you know what? I'm not sure I'm saved. And I'm concerned about that. Would you pray for me as you close? Would you slip your hand up and hold it? I'll see. You can take it right back down. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Let me ask you secondly, how about a Christian? Has the Lord spoken to your heart about something from the message today? You say, preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart, and there's a need, and I'm acknowledging it before God. No one else is looking around. You're going to slip your hand up and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Others all across this auditorium, thank you so very much. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way it works in our hearts. And Lord, we ask your blessing in this invitation. Thank you for each one who raised a hand. Lord, I pray that as your Holy Spirit has spoke to them, that you would help them to respond and to implement the things that you've spoken to their hearts about. Bless now our invitation time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.